Now, said Sam, at last I can deal with you. He leapt forward with drawn blade ready for battle, but Gollum did not spring. He fell flat upon the ground and whimpered.
Don't kill us, he wept. Don't hurt us with nasty, cruel steel. Let us live, yes, live just a little longer. Lost, lost, we're lost. And when Precious goes, we'll die, yes, die into the dust.
He clawed up the ashes of the path with his long, fleshless fingers.
Dust, he hissed.
Sam's hand wavered. His mind was hot with wrath and the memory of evil. It would be just to slay this treacherous, murderous creature, just and many times deserved, and also it seemed the only safe thing to do. But deep in his heart there was something that restrained him. He couldn't strike this thing lying in the dust, forlorn, ruinous, utterly wretched. He himself, though only for a little while, had borne the ring, and now dimly he guessed the agony of Gollum's shrivelled mind and body, enslaved to that ring, unable to find peace or relief ever in life again. But Sam had no words to express what he felt.
"Oh, curse you, you stinking thing," he said. "Go away, be off. I don't trust you, not as far as I could kick you. But be off, or I shall hurt you, yes, with nasty, cruel steel."
Gollum got up on all fours and backed away for several paces, and then he turned, and as Sam aimed a kick at him, he fled away down the path. Sam gave no more heed to him. He suddenly remembered his master. He looked up the path and could not see him. As fast as he could, he trudged up the road. If he had looked back, he might have seen, not far below, Gollum turn again, and then, with a wild light of madness glaring in his eyes, come, swiftly but warily, creeping on behind, a slinking shadow among the stones. The path climbed on. Soon it bent again, and with a last eastward course, passed in a cutting along the face of the cone, and came to the dark door in the mountainside, the door of the Samarthnaa, the way now rising towards the south. The sun, piercing the smokes and haze, burned ominous, a dull, bleared disk of red, but all Mordor lay about the mountain like a dead land, silent, shadow-folded, waiting for some dreadful stroke. Sam came to the gaping mouth and peered in. It was dark and hot, and a deep rumbling shook the air.
"Frodo! Master!" he called.
There was no answer. For a moment he stood, his heart beating with wild fears, and then he plunged in. A shadow followed him.